Hello, everybody. This is Matt.
And this is Alex.
And we are here today trying to rein in our raving rabbit holes to talk about modern settings today.
Yes.
And also kick the table.
Kick the
Always
table.
Always gotta kick the table.
Don't kick the table. And we also have some exciting news. This, as of now, we officially have a name for the podcast. For our small kind of formulating company, we will now be known as Cursed Dice Studios, or CD Studios.
I like CD Studios.
It's awesome. It's nice to have a name.
It is, because it's nice to give something... It gives a sense of permanence.
Yes, I mean, we've recorded a few podcasts. Maybe one or two will make it, make it out, this one included.
Maybe. This one might be the first one out.
Maybe.
This one might be the first one, because I think this is going to be the first one where we actually have some kind of a topic.
And we have some energy going here. And yeah, it's great because this was a roadblock for us. Coming up with a name for...
Honestly, it was the longest part of the process.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like sitting down...
Got your wife in on it.
Yes. And it's like sitting down to play a RPG for the first time, and you sit in character creation for how long? For longer than you do play that game that night.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Skyrim, 100%. Maybe I spent, 2 hours just playing with the face features.
Something that you're never going to see until you're just like, you know what? I need to look at it.
Exactly.
I need to know.
And then I wore a mask the whole game. Yeah, so, right. But that's great. And we're really excited to be able to bring this podcast to you guys.
It's finally real.
Yeah,
it's finally real. I am scared.
I'm excited. No brakes. I'm just pedal to the metal.
Yeah, no. Your brakes are sitting across from you right now. Your brakes are sitting across from you right now.
Listen.
No. You listen to me because we are going to start talking about modern settings. Probably my personal favorite to fantasize about.
Yes.
Even though I have probably the least amount of experience with it.
You know, what's funny for me is that I do have this huge preference towards fantasy games like Dungeons & Dragons, and I do love playing that, but the most listening time I put in on any kind of audiobooks has been The Dresden Files. It's my favorite series, and it's modern Chicago over the course of 15 years, and it's become my favorite series.
With this huge, huge fantasy underground element to it.
And modern fantasy for me has been my biggest one of my biggest loves. If I look back over the time, I've consumed all of Charmed more than twice.
Yeah,
the Dresden Files series. Yeah, Supernatural. I'm up to date on Supernatural.
Yeah, no, that's probably one of the bigger examples of it.
Definitely,
that is hitting the masses.
What's the power scale also when we look at modern games?
Honestly, it can vary so wildly, because you can go from things like D20 Modern, which is just Dungeons and Dragons in a different setting with maybe a few tweaks here and there, because you're not really gonna have to know the speed of a horse carriage in modern times.
No, definitely not.
So you have something like that, and then you can go all the way down to just private investigator.
Yeah.
In modern times. And in between there you have things like Call of Cthulhu, which you can set in modern times, which is kind of a middling, because it's lower towards the player power, typically.
But the world is so much more dangerous.
But the world is a lot more deadly.
When looking at it, too, you have things where there's, say, The Path. Not a very widely known show, but there's definitely a supernatural element in that drama that is definitely prominent, more so in later seasons of it.
It's one of those things that has a slow burn to on the upscale.
And it doesn't get a whole lot of supernatural in it. They don't really even address it so much, because it's more of a faith thing, and you don't know if they're hallucinating it, if it's really happening or not.
Yeah, it's...
But then you get into Charmed and Supernatural,
it is at the forefront, and you have people who are literally fighting gods and fighting the epitome of deadliness in Supernatural's case with the Horsemen of the Apocalypse. One of my favorite arcs.
I'd say they're even at some points fighting concepts.
Epitomized
and brought into
Famine.
Yes,
probably one of my favorite Supernatural villains, but.
Well, I mean, they serve their purpose as an antagonist.
Antagonist, yeah, that's where it is.
Yeah.
And then you have very overt antagonists, again, in a show like Supernatural, where you have the Leviathans.
Yes, something that was outside of, I mean, was that the things that, like, God even made, or in that show?
Those were the things that I think were outside there. They were just there.
Yeah.
And all they did was consume. So, yeah. Like, God had to lock them away, something like that. And then there was the Abyss, the opposite of God.
Oh, his sister.
His sister.
Yes, and they actually just introduced a character very, very briefly in the newest season that is, it is the Nothing.
Yeah.
It didn't even have its own form. It took the form of someone who is there. I don't want to be too spoilery for anyone who hasn't watched it yet, even though it's been out for a little bit, guys.
We can't jump to spoiler cast.
Exactly. Okay, I'm going to try not to. But I guess when we're trying to think about running it as a game,
yes,
the first step I think we have to choose, or the viewer would have to choose, when you're playing this kind of game, you need to decide how much, like
how much magical force, yeah, in the form fantasy. Of literal magic powers, magical items,
creatures,
vampires, werewolves, fae, specters.
Where demons. Do you draw the line?
Yeah, like where does that line come in? That's probably one of the hardest things. And that's one of the things that, like, personally looking through a lot of the modern settings and games that I've been looking at, I've kind of come to the conclusion to where you pick up the system that's right for the that feels good. Like, you're not going to pick up Dungeons & Dragons if you want to have a true-to-life Viking scenario.
No.
So you're not going to be throwing dragons and trolls into it if you want a real-life game of survival.
Yeah.
And you're not going to pick up you're not going to pick up Cyberpunk 2077 if you want to have mages running around next to your hackers.
Yes, definitely. That's for Shadowrun.
Yeah, that's...
There's a game,
take me a bit more close to home. Exactly.
I guess, you know, that does lead into picking the system.
Yes. That's probably the next thing. And kind of a shameless shill here, as somebody who is, like, horribly, horribly into buying random books.
Yeah.
This kind of thing. Drive-through RPG.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing website.
They have tons of small creators on there making some really good stuff.
Yeah. Not only making their own systems, but making supplements to other systems that are unofficial.
Yes.
That are presented in a amazing fashion.
I actually at least have the ones that I've got. Yeah, I have a couple supplements. There's a local guy who runs his own podcast and shows, Captain Gothnog. That guy, Alex, he's up in Maine, not too far from us. And he has made some really cool stuff on
Interesting
there.
Dude. Look him up.
Definitely. Definitely different.
Yeah, check out his stuff.
He's very cool. The guy lives in a yurt, guys. And if you don't know what that is,
woods.
Pause this real quick. Google.
No. What a yurt don't pause this. Google it while listening to us, and then shake your head in confusion.
So, and mind you, he lives in one of those with his wife and two children. So, congrats, man.
Yeah, like you're doing what many would
practically like, off the grid. That is awesome.
Yeah, that's and then still putting out content.
Yes.
You're like two steps away from Amish, and like you're still throwing out content for D&D.
He actually built that himself too, which
which again, props
to you. That doesn't exist anymore, and I wish it did.
Yeah.
So,
So getting back to the modern things, one thing that you guys are gonna have to know is we get sidetracked a lot. We tend to not stay on topic for all that long.
We're going to try to rein it in. We're two guys with ADHD, and it becomes a problem.
two guys with ADHD who are a little too excited to be doing this.
Well, one reason why we are excited is because we are currently planning our own modern game.
Yes. We are going to be playing a game called Urban Shadows, which is a game that I am really liking, especially after coming off of freshly learning Shadowrun. Well, not freshly learning, but learning Shadowrun, where I had to sacrifice more than a few evenings to nothing but books and PDFs.
Oh, yeah.
Because, my God, do they have books.
And Shadowrun is an amazing game, but the amount of reading...
Oh, my God.
...and comprehension that you need to go through...
Yeah, and the amount of being able to look at rules and say, I'm not going to need that.
Yeah.
One of our running jokes now is roll the tread water. And having a game that is as, I don't want to say obtuse, but difficult to grasp. The accessibility of it is not exactly great.
No, it's not a pick-up-and-go game. It's definitely one where you kind of, you want someone to know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then spend time with everyone else to teach them.
Yeah, which is exactly what we did. And it ended up awesome.
Yeah, definitely. But what I like about Urban Shadows so far,
It is such a simple, simple system. It presented reads, in a really good way.
It reads like someone is telling you how to play in person, and simply.
Yeah, somebody who made the game.
Oh, yeah.
And who understands it through and through.
Pick up and go.
Yeah, it's super, super simple. Character sheets are, honestly, I think if you print it out on a full piece of just regular computer paper, it's just going to be front and back.
Yeah.
And then maybe a scratch pad.
Maybe. I think it actually left some space open for notes and everything, too.
Oh, well, then there you go.
And
but the entire game is played with 2d6.
Yeah, the equipment level is very low. Everyone could share those 2d6. Yeah.
And it's not very combat-heavy, which I find to be a nice change of pace.
It is, because everything gets into, like, this monotony of, like, let's get to the fight, and next fight,
next time I get to swing my sword. Whereas this one is much more roleplay heavy.
Yeah.
It is very much so a political intrigue, a murder mystery, which is the kind of game that we're starting to plan. And it's at the very outset of the game, you have to link your character to another character somehow through some kind of debt, whether you owe them or they owe you.
I like this system, this whole having debts. It feels very Fae-ish. I like the Fae a lot. And this whole idea of doing things and making basically the currency in this game is I owe you one, you owe me one.
Yeah, and I feel like that also lends to the underground feel of it, where it's not many people have a whole lot of money, so
yeah.
Everyone trades in favors. It's a bartering tool kind of thing, where, I mean, if you can't do a whole lot, your favors don't mean a whole lot. So it's, and I feel like I'm gonna get a lot of play out of that. Not to mention the fact that it's meant to be played straight up modern times, like not a whole lot of frills with that, not a whole lot of crazy weird alternate timelines. No, it's you take the world as it is now and add in the fantasy underground, full of vampires, werewolves, specters, the tainted, which are just demons. I haven't looked at many of the other supplements, but yeah. I've seen talk of dragons masquerading as people, of angels come down, wizards, oracles, all of these people underground, just out of sight, which I think some people might think is kind of a tired concept. But for in this context, at least, maintaining the veil between what most people think is reality and fiction, maintaining that veil, I feel like that's not as explored a concept in a tabletop.
It's kind of a everyone can agree on. It'd be a bigger issue if the normal populace knew about us.
Sheerly through force of numbers,
right?
If nothing else.
Exactly. I think who really did it best when they talked about it was season 2 of Stranger Things.
Okay.
That private investigator where he's talking about the curtain and how, you know, everyone doesn't want to know what's behind that curtain. Yeah. They don't want to know what's back there.
Everyone thinks the curtain is probably there.
But they don't want to know
what's behind it. Nobody wants to know about anymore.
And anytime it gets pulled open, they will deny it and find a way to slam it shut.
Oh, yeah.
Which will work to the supernatural world's advantage, really. I mean, I'm sure they're going to, at least in this one, maybe play on it a bit. You know, they're going to explain it away for us, but let's not expose ourselves.
Let's not test fate.
Yeah.
Fate hasn't been kind to a lot of us. Let sleeping dogs lie as much as we can.
There's a reason why these supernatural beings and creatures and powers don't run the world. Or if they do, it's behind
the
scenes.
They don't do it overtly.
No, it's not through force, it's through finesse.
Worldwide panic never helps anyone. No, that doesn't have anybody do anything.
Now you have an Apocalypse game.
Yeah, right. It's a whole different game. One I'd be glad to play.
Right.
But if that's happening, I'm going to go get a Mad Max book.
Why not?
I mean, don't tempt me with another book. You know how that'll end.
You'll have it tomorrow.
Actually, speaking of which, reach behind my chair, pull out the book.
So, we've got the setting. We kind of got this idea of power setting. How much we want to be active in it. You pick the setting that you want to, or not the setting, I'm sorry, but the system you want to use to play it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's coming down to, getting the players together and what they want to be.
Exactly. And not only, at least in the case of Urban Shadows, not only what they want to be, but how do they want to be with other people? So this is a game where very, very much so, a session zero is extremely important. Because you're going to need to get all of your players together to talk to each other. Yes. And figure out who knows who. Did you all go to school together? Are you all childhood friends that never moved away from the block?
Yeah.
Are you people who work together? Or are you just three people who happened upon the same crazy, crazy instance?
Some instance brought you guys together.
Yeah.
And, you could look at any kind of horror movie where a team of people band together. Look at It, how the kids kind of, the ones who are friends, and they expand their friend group kind of thing.
Honestly, you can do, Scooby-Doo. A group of regular people who are aware. Maybe a veteran or two, just so somebody can hit something.
Yep.
Just in case.
And in this game, those are among the classes of the normal humans. They're kind of like your hunters from Supernatural.
Yeah, your Winchesters.
Yeah, your Winchesters are what I would call veterans. And then,
Bobby would be a veteran, because he's the one who's sitting back tinkering, he's the guy in the chair.
Yeah.
Whereas the Winchesters are the hunters, they're the ones with the tricked out weapons, the ones who have the combat skills and the investigation skills, whereas the regular, they're called the Aware.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get to. Are
the people who are just that little bit luckier. They have that extra little edge. They have the,
Usually the Winchesters encounter the newly aware.
Yeah, the unfortunately aware. Yeah.
The now I know because my husband ate the dog.
Yes, Spot, no!
So, this dynamic of trying to get the players together, it definitely does formulate what you do for a plot.
And it really does, and it's kind of hard to figure out a plot beforehand.
Yes, I would recommend, gather all your ideas, what you want to do, but figure out what the players want first.
Yeah, get them all written down on a piece of paper, and then once you get all your players together, then be like, all right, guys, what sounds interesting?
Definitely.
And then just rattle off your list.
Because if the players get together, and they're all there for different things, and you're not hitting half those things, you can have unhappy players and an unhappy game.
Yeah, and that's another thing that I actually really, really like about Urban Shadows, is that it is a game that is based very much so around the players. Much more than the GM, or it's called the Master of Ceremonies here.
Yes.
Where the players are the ones who are setting the pacing entirely.
Yeah.
You are very much so encouraged to not plot out every detail as you would in Shadowrun, D&D.
Definitely. It's a lot more fluid, freeform.
Yeah, it's a big improv game.
Yeah.
Very much so a yes-and game. Which I really like, especially once you get people who understand that fact.
Oh, yeah, it's refreshing, honestly, to come from something that's so structured.
Yeah.
To something where it's like, hey, wait, I have control to do extra things? I don't have to,
look
at you for... Can I?
Yeah, you don't need to get the DM's permission to use a spell purely for flavor.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of a thing. First level shield in D&D.
Yes.
So a kid throws a tomato at you because you gave a bad performance in front of everybody trying to make some gold. Get those tomato at you. You don't have to question the use of shield to block the tomato from ruining your new favorite robe. You can just do it, and it's not going to cost anything. There's no second guess.
Well, you're not stopping a bullet.
Exactly.
At which point, hey, I need you to roll for that.
Yeah, it's like, it's like, yeah, that's where it gets a little dicey.
Yeah.
No pun intended. But...
God damn you.
There will not be one episode where I go without a pun.
Hold him to it.
Oh, God, no. No, I have to watch what I say now. Damn it.
Yep, no, that's on you now. You started that one. I'm not helping you. So we got the characters. We got them together. We know what they want to do.
Yeah, we know what they want to do.
So for the sake of this, we've got... we're playing Urban Shadows. We're playing a kind of local, modern...
Yep.
Supernatural element to it.
A couple players are new to role-playing games, let's say. Because this would be a great game to introduce.
Murder mystery.
Yep. Something that everybody's seen something about. Something everybody has a favorite of.
Definitely.
Very easy to get to.
So, we've got all that. Now, say, we talked to that. We figured out that, you know, the plot, we want to do like a murder mystery, you know. Really can't talk too much about plots as far as that goes. I mean, there's a million different types of things you can do, but it's just ambiguous where it comes down to those things. Now it comes to the play of it.
Which, again, super simple. Super, super simple. For this one, I've seen other systems where it can get a little, little complicated.
A little out of hand.
Yeah, I've seen some Shadowrun style games where if you want to hit somebody, you're rolling 20d6.
So many dice.
I've seen some D&D systems where it is d20, or Call of Cthulhu systems where it's d100 for every roll and you're trying to beat a percentage.
And now, this game, Urban Shadows, which we're shilling... for no other reason than that we were really excited to play this game.
Yeah, I think it's more excitement over the incoming game than anything.
Oh, yeah. It's 2d6.
Yeah, you roll 2d6.
When you roll, it's only two dice.
But players are the ones who roll 2d6.
That's interesting.
The MC does not roll.
So
or rolls very, very little.
So as a game master, master of ceremonies, to not have that... control.
I don't need a screen.
It's kind of... It makes it...
I think I feel naked.
Yeah, it's kind of scary because there are no secrets on your side, really.
Yeah, no.
I mean, there are, but...
I'm going to have a notepad.
Yeah.
It's... Just to, like, just for some NPCs that you guys have met that I need to keep track of because this guy's supposed to be working on this for you. This guy's supposed to have this in stock for you. This guy's supposed to meet you at 7 so he can tell you something. But past that...
I don't know if that's more, like, scary and out of control, or freeing.
Yeah, it's definitely something new, and honestly, I can't wait.
Yeah, no, it's going to be very exciting to sit down and try that out. So, we're going to take a quick pause, and we'll be back to you guys very soon to hit up the last half of this.
Yeah, and we will... Oh, it's going to be good. All right, and we are back. So one of the reasons why you might be noticing some cuts in the future, hopefully for not for too long.
Not for too much longer.
But the app that we are currently using to record, we're recording on an iPad right now, it times us out after just a little bit before 20 minutes. So
yeah, something like that. It's 640 bars. Whatever that equals out to, we're not musicians.
Yeah, no, that's kind of the opposite of what we are.
But that being said, we are planning on upgrading. We do have a very nice mic that we're working on.
Yes.
Our makeshift studio isn't the most soundproof or best, so we apologize for the quality. We are doing the best we can, and we're going to improve it gradually but surely.
Yeah.
And we're very excited to have this. This is probably going to be our first episode out.
Yeah, I can definitely see this being the first one. The other ones weren't exactly professional.
No, that was us just dipping our toes in the water.
Oh yeah, learning how to attempt to learn how to talk to a microphone.
And now we feel so much more official.
Yeah, it's real now, and it feels funny.
Speaking of real, what makes it real?
guys, oh God, the fucking segue.
The segue, guys. We have social media now. We plan on stretching our arms out wide and getting into everything that we can. But
why
again,
start with a small net?
Right, but slowly. So, that being said, we do have a Facebook page. That is Cursed Dice Studios. You can look it us up. We got the Facebook page. We have a...
Might be a little barren when you first get there.
It is a little barren to start. We do have a Twitter. That is C-Dice Studios. Or at C-Dice Studios. We have an email. Official. CursedDiceStudios@gmail.com.
Yep. With that email, Facebook, or Twitter.
Yes.
The very first thing that I want to ask people is send us what you want to hear.
Yes.
What things are you tired of hearing in any kind of like table talk podcast that has to do with these kind of things? What have you not been hearing that you want to? Please don't talk about actual play, because that's something that's coming in the future.
Definitely.
That's probably going to be an almost separate entity.
But almost. It'll be a definitely under the umbrella.
It's going to be under our umbrella, but I personally want to have a couple of different casts that go out.
Yes.
And I don't know about having them different names. This personally was where I feel like I might separate.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It would be under Cursed Dice Studios.
Yeah.
But different
Cursed Dice Studios presents whatever.
Yes.
But, yeah, like, tell us what you want to hear.
Please.
Because, honestly, we're new at this. And if nobody tells us what they want to hear, it's just going to be us talking into a microphone.
Definitely. Yep, I agree with that. We have plenty of ideas. We want to know what the best ideas are.
Yeah. Well, which ones are relevant?
Yeah. That being said, speaking of which, for actual plays, we do have a Twitch.
Yes.
It is completely barren, untouched. I don't even know how to change the profile picture. I'm baffled.
That should be something that needs to be workshopped.
Yes, but we do have Cursed Dice Studios on Twitch. We also have cursedicestudios.weebly.com as a place where we will try to load up with...
Yeah, we shotgunned a bunch of stuff.
We decided that this is a cool name and it needs to be taken up everywhere by us and by no one else.
Yeah.
So please, get in touch with us.
Let us know, please.
And thank you for listening to our first podcast.
Yes.
And hopefully you stick around for more.
You will not be disappointed. Don't quote me on that.